This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Larry Haas, former communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore, and also he served as the spokesman for the Clinton White House Office of Management and Budget. In his latest syndicated column, Larry says that we should expect our taxes to go up, even in the middle class, and he says that's what should be happening. It's drawing just a few eyebrows raised up. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be here as always, Greg.
You have said, and you pointed out in your opinion piece today, that many presidential candidates have promised not to raise taxes, yet they have. You mentioned Reagan's second term, Bill Clinton. You mentioned Bush 41. And you say it should happen in the Barack Obama administration, despite him tamping down speculation that that's even on the table right now. Explain why you think that's the reasonable course here.
Well, he had, I'm talking about Barack Obama, had campaigned on a pledge not to raise taxes on anyone making under $250,000 a year. And my argument is that he will violate that pledge eventually, and that he should for a whole variety of reasons. Number one, our deficit is huge and growing larger by the day. It's not entirely clear that our lenders overseas will continue to lend to us at the rate at which they are. If we need to entice more lenders into the market to lend us the huge sums that we're borrowing at the moment, that's going to force us to raise interest rates in a very big way, and that's going to hurt the economy. And Obama is under pressure by our lenders overseas, like the Chinese and others, to get our deficit under control. Now, the argument always comes back, we shouldn't raise taxes, we need to cut spending. And I agree, we need to cut spending. Spending is out of control. The problem is that the main drivers of our long-term deficit are the growth of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And the American people would never, ever agree to the kind of dramatic cuts we would need to make in those three programs if we were merely to balance the budget by cutting spending and not entertain taxes. So the arithmetic doesn't add up, the politics don't add up, the economics don't add up, other than to force us eventually to raise taxes not just on the rich, but on the broad middle class.
Larry, how big of a tax increase are we looking at here? Because we know that the entitlement programs you just talked about are all headed in the wrong direction, and we see that the spending right now being added to deal with this recession, ostensibly, is also adding to the deficit. So how much of a hike are we looking at here?
Well, it's very, very difficult to say because it is, you know, lawmakers are going to have a whole wide range of options in terms of how they impose higher taxes. There could be increases in income taxes. There could be increases in gas taxes. There could be the creation, as there's a lot of discussion of from time to time, of a brand new tax, like a value-added tax, which is essentially like a national sales tax. I don't know that there has to be a huge major hit on the middle class. I don't know that taxes have to go up more than modestly. I do know, however, that we cannot solve our problems just by taxing those making over $250,000 a year. There simply are not enough well-to-do people in America to put the burden entirely on them. So I don't think we're going to see massive tax increases on the middle class, but I do think we will see some.
In terms of what people can afford, and you mentioned that about the rich, they could afford a tax increase, maybe even a little bit more. What is the standard what we should expect to pay out to Uncle Sam and what we should expect to keep?
Well, I think we have to understand that we all pay, even though it doesn't necessarily show up in our taxes, we all pay when the deficit is high, the debt burden is high, and it becomes an impediment to economic growth. President Clinton went a long way towards solving our budget deficit problems that he inherited in 1993, not just by raising income tax rates for the very top, the top 1.2% of Americans. Those are the only ones who saw their income taxes go up. President Clinton imposed a 4.3 cents a gallon increase in the gas tax. I don't think that that's a very large tax increase, but obviously it's an increase that affects all of us because essentially we all drive. So I think we might see tax increases of that kind. I mean, let's keep in mind, it wasn't too long ago that we were all paying nearly $4 a gallon for gasoline. Gasoline right now is down to $2.50 a gallon. If we were merely to go a little of the ways back towards what we were paying previously, let's say by imposing an increase of a nickel or a dime or maybe even a quarter of the gas tax, that would raise huge sums of money and I don't think would be a major burden on the middle class.
Larry, one of the other things, of course, that people might say is that we've seen major spending initiatives through the stimulus package. Another one would come through cap and trade. And obviously, right now, there's a huge firestorm of debate over health care. Some might say, well, let's put these big spending items on the back burner. It may not make a huge dent in the overall deficit and so forth, but now's not the time to pile on.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily disagree with that. A couple of things for people to keep in mind. Number one, the stimulus programs are essentially temporary. They will expire. They have almost no impact on the long-term deficit. That's number one. Number two, I don't really know how quickly cap and trade is going to happen. I mean, it would be a big new burden on our economy. I don't frankly think that there is enough support for it in the Senate to make it happen. So I don't think people should worry at the moment too much about cap and trade. With regard to health care, obviously we've got a raging debate here, and we've got to make a decision as a society whether we are willing to make the kinds of upfront investments on medical technology, electronic record keeping, and things like that, that over the long term should help us save money through the health care system. But I agree. The economy is, weak at the moment, and it's difficult to be talking about new burdens on the economy until we see the economy starting to grow at a healthy rate. But keep something in mind. Just because you pass legislation today doesn't mean that it takes effect today. We can reform the healthcare system and implement the changes over time so that the big changes do not occur until we start seeing economic growth again.
Last question, Larry, and I'm sure many conservatives are asking this question. They say that back in the Reagan years when he cut taxes and when George W. Bush cut taxes, that we saw revenues into the government increase dramatically. Yes, we had deficits because spending was not kept under control during those years, but ultimately reducing taxes it gives incentive for economic growth, and that brings much greater revenue into Washington than tax increases. How would you respond to that?
Well, it's a very complicated question. There is no doubt that when we are in a period of economic weakness, that having temporary tax cuts to reinvigorate the economy is a good thing. There really is not any evidence to support the notion that cutting taxes, tax rates that are at the moment at 35% top rate, or 36%, to cut them to 33%, 32%, maybe even 30%, is actually going to result in higher revenues. You eventually catch up with where you would have been if the rates had stayed high, but there simply is not evidence to support the notion that no matter what the rate is, if you make it lower, all of a sudden you get an explosion of revenue. I know there's great mythology out there about that, but the facts don't support that contention.
Larry, fascinating discussion, and I'm sure it will continue. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Happy to be here, Greg.
Larry Haas served as communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore, was also the spokesman for the Clinton White House Office of Management and Budget. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.